Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hope everybody's doing well today. I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast. And today we have Dr. Bradley Nelson. He is a chiropractor. He is a healer, and he has come out with a few books. He has a current book called The Body Code. He came out with a book prior to that called The Emotion Code. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. So I want to welcome you to the Unimpressed Podcast.
Well, thank you so much, John, for having me on. It's great to be here.
Just tell me a little bit about, you know, your foundation, your journey. You know, how did you have this realization? Where did this drive come from?
It's really interesting. It goes back, my story really began when I was 7 years old. I was really sick with the measles, and my mother asked my father if he would pray for me, and he did. And in the middle of this short prayer that he was offering, I was instantly healed within about the space of like half a second. To go from being really sick one moment to being totally healthy in the next moment is very strange. And it's something like that just sears into your memory. And so I remember that very, very well, very distinctly. And it taught me a couple of things at age seven. It taught me there's definitely a higher power that's unseen that we can draw upon and ask for help. And it also taught me that healing doesn't necessarily have to take a long time, because I was really sick, but it happened instantaneously for me. Mm-hmm. And so so that was really interesting. So I kind of filed those things away. Then at age 13, I ended up with kidney disease, and there was nothing that could be done for me medically. And it was very painful. And my parents took me to see a couple of old-time holistic doctors who started working on me. And they pulled me right out of it. And I knew that what they were doing was exactly what my body needed. I could feel it in my body. I knew. And so at the end of that time, when I got better, which only took a few weeks, my folks sent me back to the hospital and they ran the tests again. And they said, well, it's a spontaneous remission, et cetera. And I knew that they hadn't done anything. These other people had helped me. So I decided I was going to be a doctor. And a natural doctor like these people were. But then I got involved in computers and programming and business. And so it was really an answer to prayer that brought me back again to that dream of being a healer. And so I went into, I went to chiropractic school. I was kind of radically open to whatever I could find that might work. And because these people that had healed me, I can remember lying on my back on their treatment table, looking up at them and saying, I want to do what you're doing when I grow up. They'd say, no, you don't. They'd say, if you go to chiropractic school or naturopathic school or some school of natural healing, you'll come out of it like a zombie. He said, they'll fill your head so full of fixed ideas, you won't even be able to think. And boy, that really stuck with me. So when I went to chiropractic school, I was kind of on guard. No matter what anybody said might be the best way to do this or that, I was always open to the possibility that maybe there is a better way. Maybe there's some other way. And that was actually, I think, a really good thing for me, because it enabled me to be open. And when I was in school, I can remember my instructors saying things like, the brain's the most amazing computer in the known world. And I can remember sitting there thinking, gee, if the brain's a computer, will we ever have the technology to ask questions and get information from the brain, because it really should know everything that's going on with somebody. Wouldn't that be an amazing way to help our patients? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what my life's work is devoted to, is to teaching people that, yes, there is an internal computer, and yes, you can ask questions, and yes, you can get answers. And it provides us, in most cases, the shortest distance from point A to point B, point A being where you are now and point B being where you want to be, free of your mental, emotional, physical problems, whatever they are.
The way you're talking is a very engineered thought process, thinking about the brain and it being the shortest distance to an answer, right? When you're trying to heal the body. When you do these things, I mean, what put you ahead of the curve?
Really, it was prayer. What happened was, it was an answer to prayer for me to go into the healing arts. And when I got into practice, I thought, well, you know, God's gotten me into this, so maybe he'll help me. And so I developed this habit. Before I'd go to work on a patient, I would just take a moment and have a slight, just a momentary pause where I would ask for help from up above. And of course, we all think of God in different ways. If we think of God at all, we might think of source energy or the universe or creator, whatever. I don't think it makes too much difference. But for me, I was just asking God, you know, to please help me with this person that I was working on. I think that the vast majority of the time, John, when we ask for help like that, it comes in ways that we don't even recognize. It'll come in the form of maybe like a little subtle thought or an impression, or maybe an idea that we have that we usually think is our own idea. But I'll tell you, there were times during those years when someone would come in to see me and I didn't know how to approach their problem. I didn't know what to do with them. And I would offer that silent prayer for help, which was just kind of a routine habit. And the information that I needed would sometimes just flood in like an avalanche of data and understanding. It was an amazing thing. That didn't happen very often. I mean, over about 20 years of time, I can count those times on one hand. But that taught me that that higher power, whatever you want to call it, is aware of us and of what we're doing all the time. And if we ask for help, then it opens that channel for us to be able to receive that help. I mean, think about what Jesus said. He said, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you. He didn't just say, you'll receive. He said, knock and you'll receive, or ask and you'll receive, knock and it'll be opened. So I've learned that that principle is really true. And so for all those years that I was in practice, I was trying to figure out what was really wrong with my patients. Because as a chiropractor, you know, I started off just realigning people's spines, and I got phenomenal results that way, like all chiropractors, I think, do. And all kinds of things improved and got better. But then there were some things that wouldn't. And that bothered me. And I wanted to know, well, what's going on with this person? Why doesn't this get better? Why can't this woman conceive a child? You know, why does this person have digestive problems? What's going on? Why can't I fix these migraines? What is it? And so it was over the course of many years working on many patients who had all kinds of problems and asking for help all the time and learning everything that I could from every place that I could, that I started putting the puzzle together. And it's interesting because it was complicated initially, but as time went on, the puzzle became more and more simple. Because I was a computer programmer, I always had a computer there in my office, and it was there because I was creating a database, a knowledge base, really, a very extensive mind map of the imbalances that I was finding on my patients. And when I would find a new imbalance, I would figure out where to put it in this mind mapping system that I had created. And it was really interesting because the subconscious minds I found of my patients, I knew that I could ask questions and get answers from the subconscious mind of my patients. And that was something that gradually came to me over many years. But what I found was that their subconscious mind knew what was in my map. Even if it was a brand new patient, even if that patient didn't speak English, somehow I could talk to that patient. I could talk to them silently or out loud, and I would get the answers from their subconscious mind through muscle testing their body or looking at their leg length changes or testing my own self. I could get those answers from their subconscious mind. And so it was incredible. It worked so well that during the last 10 years that I was in practice, most of the people that I saw had been told there was really no help for them at all. They'd been really cast off by Western medicine, told that nothing could ever be done to help them. They'd never get better. Mm-hmm. And yet the vast majority of those people did get better. But it's just because I was asking questions and getting those answers from their subconscious mind. And I found that the subconscious is all too willing to give up those answers. You just have to ask. It was a really interesting thing. So I finally realized that this information had to get out to the world. It wasn't just for me. It was for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I left practice in 2004 and wrote this book, The Emotion Code, which came out in 2007 and came out as a soft cover originally. And then this one came out in 2019 as a hardcover with a nice foreword by Tony Robbins and some really nice endorsements from a lot of really smart people. And then this book just came out on the 21st of this month, February, The Body Code. And The Body Code includes the emotion code in it, kind of a brief explanation of it. And the emotion code is all about how to find your emotional baggage and get rid of that emotional baggage. Because I found that, and I wrote this book first, because I found that so many of my patients, well, really all of my patients, no matter what they were suffering from, whether it was something mental or emotional or physical, if they were dealing with depression or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks or PTSD or eating disorders or some kind of self-sabotage, or if they were dealing with physical pain, migraine headaches or back pain or knee pain or neck pain or whatever, or if it was something more complex, like some kind of dysfunction like infertility or asthma or digestive problems, or they had been diagnosed with some kind of a named disease, what I found was all of them had emotional baggage in common. In other words, as we live through our lives, we go through things we'd rather not go through, and we experience intense emotions sometimes. And sometimes those emotions are powerful enough that they get stuck in the body. And that's what I found with my patients, that if I could identify that emotional baggage and release it, all kinds of things would improve, because that seemed to be a big thing that was in the way. The body code is a little different, because during all those years I was in practice, I figured out that everything could be put into six categories. In other words, all the imbalances that my patients were suffering from could be placed into one of these categories. Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so they could all fit in there somewhere. And those categories are, there's six of them. And so they are things like energies, for example. Energies are things like trapped emotions or physical, emotional traumas, things like that. Another category is pathogens. And of course, we know all about pathogens, viruses, bacteria, fungal infections, and so on. You got to get rid of those to be totally healthy. Another category is what we call circuits and systems. And that category has to do with the connection between the spirit and the physical body, the acupuncture, meridians, and so on, the chakras, and so on. Another category is misalignment, because anything can become misaligned. Those misalignments are usually due to other things like trapped emotions. Another category is toxins are not going to be totally healthy if you're toxic. And then the last one is nutrition and lifestyle. And this one has to do with having the right minerals and vitamins and things, and getting enough sleep, and having the right herbs, and getting the essential oils that you need, whatever it is. So anyway, what I found was the subconscious mind of the individual knew exactly what they needed. And I would ask questions and get answers. And I could use this map that we call the body code to very rapidly figure out what they needed and help them to get well.
What sticks out to me is balance. So when you think about your centerpiece of balance, it's funny that you picked that out, because I think Western medicine heals from the top down instead of from the foundation up, right?
Yeah, I think that that's right.
And it seems like your system is healing from the foundation up, which is a game changer, because everything else is just a Band-Aid.
Well, right. I mean, if you think about it, if you've been to a doctor in the last year or so, chances are they gave you some kind of a prescription for some kind of medication that would suppress whatever symptoms you were having. Typically, most of the time, that's how it is in Western medicine. Most of the time, the drugs that are given are given to suppress some kind of a symptom. But the way I look at it, and I've really come to believe and know that this is really true about our bodies, John, after doing this for so many years, any kind of a symptom that we have as a human being, whether it's physical pain or some kind of mental or emotional issue, or some kind of a some set of symptoms that is maybe classified as a disease, you can look at that, no matter what it is, as being like a check engine light on your car's dashboard. You know, if you're in pain, for example, from something, well, usually the pain is not really the problem. Usually the pain is just an indicator, or the depression or anxiety or whatever it might be, or whatever other kind of physical symptom you might be manifesting. For example, years ago, a woman came in to see me. She had hurt her back lifting one of her kids, or one of her babies that I think was maybe getting a little big. And so she comes in to see me, and she told me as I was talking with her that she'd been suffering from a migraine that had not given her any break at all for 2 weeks. And she was taking some really heavy duty medications for it. And she told me that she had migraines constantly. She'd sometimes get a break for a day or so, but she'd had them for about 19 years. And So as I examined her, I found that she had a bone out of alignment at the base of her skull. And with her permission, I gave her an adjustment, a chiropractic adjustment, realigned the bone, and the migraine instantly was gone. And she kind of was stunned and couldn't quite believe it. About a week later, she came back in and she was angry. And I thought she was angry at me. And I thought, oh man, did I say something? What did I do? But she said, no, I'm not mad at you. She said, I'm angry because I've had these migraines with very few breaks for all of these years, the last two decades of my life. She said, I can't even tell you how many countless hours I've spent in a dark room trying to deal with this. And she said, I've seen all these different doctors. I think she said 9 different doctors over all those years. They'd all told her, well, you know, all you can do is take these drugs and sorry that your migraines are so bad. And she said, I'm angry because, first of all, they should have known that there was some alternative that might help me. I'm mad because they didn't know that. But really, I'm mad because I've lost 2 decades of my life that I can't really ever get back. And so, you know, if you think about that, I mean, doctors, I think, by and large, are doing the best that they can, you know, with their training and so on.
I think the key word there is training, how you're trained.
Exactly. Right.
You know? Yep. Because it's funny, you came from the chiropractic space, and you know, if you think about circulation, balancing circulation, you know, that was a realization I had, you know, that what that balance could do for your body. When you activate circulation, there's certain, to me, there's major healing, you know, possibilities there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, think about it. I mean, circulation really is so important. Imagine if you had the circulation now that you had when you were 10 years old. Think about how fast you healed. Imagine if you could take somebody that's 80 and give them back the circulation that they had when they were 10. I mean, wow, that's a big part of the aging process and so on. Well,
yeah.
So what I found with these six different categories is that sometimes it was really surprising what would happen when the subconscious mind would help me to find what was going on with a person. Sometimes it was just really, really stunning. And for example, a patient came into me once who had been coughing for a year. She said that she coughed all day long. She coughed all night long. Of course, she'd been to the hospital. They'd done CAT scans and MRIs. They'd done everything. They couldn't find anything wrong with her at all. There was no sign of anything. Her lungs looked totally normal. So they didn't have any answers for her. And she told me that her husband had moved into the other end of the house because she was coughing all night long. And she said he'd been living in the other side of the house for quite a while. And she said their marriage was starting to fray because of this cough, and it was driving her crazy. And she just had no idea why, but it had been going on for a year. So I tested her, and in the body code. So the way that this works is essentially you ask questions and then you get answers. Now you can get those answers using muscle testing of various different kinds, which we teach, of course, in the book. You can also use a pendulum or some kind of dowsing device. Doesn't matter. But anyway, so I'm asking questions of her subconscious mind. I'm saying, okay, well, is there a reason for this cough? And I get a yes answer back from her subconscious strong muscle test. And I ask, okay, well, is it on the right side of the chart? No. Got a weak answer. It's on the left side of the chart. Okay. Is it energies? No. Circuits or systems? No. Toxins? Yes. It was a toxin. Mm-hmm. So I went to the toxin area and found out it was some kind of a chemical. And so looking through a list of common chemicals and doing some more testing, I came up with a strong answer from her subconscious mind on something called camphophenique. And I said, do you use camphophenique? And she said, camphophenique? And she turned white, basically turned totally pale. And I said, well, yeah, I think that's maybe a problem. And she said, well, yes. She said every night that she would go over the last thing before she went to bed, she would go and visit this elderly woman who was a friend of their family. And she loved to have her feet rubbed with camphophenique last thing before she went to bed at night. And she said she'd been doing that for a long time. And I said, well, I don't think you should use camphophenique anymore. And so she stopped using it, and that was it. No more problem. But it was her subconscious mind, you see, that was able to guide us to that and get that answer. And, you know, I mean, medically, she'd been going to medical doctors and hospitals and so on for a year. I couldn't figure out what it was. But see, the subconscious mind all along knew. Her subconscious knew perfectly well it was the camphophenique. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that, you know, some people are really in tune with their subconscious and they would have figured that out. But most people aren't really that in tune with the subconscious. And so the body code gives us a way to just ask questions and very rapidly zero in. Every time you ask a question in the body code, you're eliminating half of your choices. It's either this side or this side. It's either this or this. It's either yes or no. See, the subconscious mind is a binary computer, John, and you can ask any question that you want as long as the answer can come back to you in the form of a yes or a no. And usually it's strength or weakness. That's usually how we get the answers.
Well, if you think about that too, if you take emotions, right, and you isolate the emotions, and people don't realize that emotions are the juggernaut of the universe. Maybe there's a realization here of a mathematical situation where if you look at unconscious, conscious, and subconscious. So if subconscious could be defined as your foundation, your unconscious bias is things you've experienced that are really not authentic. And then becoming conscious. What do you think if you could isolate those three things as a pattern or a way to identify and a way to understand yourself? What do you think about something like that?
Well, you know, generally for the purposes of the book, I mean, that could be a pretty deep well, a long trail to go down. But for the purposes of the book and when I'm teaching, what I do is I lump the subconscious and the unconscious together, and another name for them I use is the spirit within us. And I believe that spirit within us is really who we are. Mm-hmm. When we die, we go to the other side. We take that spirit intelligence with us. Sometimes we come back because it's not our time yet, right? And those people talk about their experience. And if they have a life review, they're never asked what kind of a car they drove or how much money they had in their bank account. Instead, it's always about how much love were you able to develop for your fellow beings in the world and how much knowledge were you able to gain, you know, things like that. But that subconscious or unconscious, that part of us that is keeping us alive every moment, that's creating millions of new cells every minute, that really consists of pure energy. You know, some quantum physicists calculated recently that you could take all the empty space. If you could take all the empty space out of everyone's bodies on Earth, you could fit everyone in the world into a little box the size of a sugar cube, right? Because really these bodies of ours, even though they seem so solid and they have dimension and weight and so on, the true reality is that we are just made of energy. We're beings of pure energy. And I mean, if you could look at your hand with a big microscope and zoom in at a greater and greater magnification to the level of the cell, and beyond that to the level of the organelles like the mitochondria that make up the cell, and beyond that to the level of the molecule, and beyond that to the atom, you'd notice the next atom is a long distance away. And there's nothing in that atom. It's just empty space. And that's really what we are. And it's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around that because we're so entrenched in this 3D world. But in some ways, life is almost like a simulation in a way, because these bodies of ours, even though they're solid, they're also very unsolid. And when you look in the mirror, you don't expect to see swirling patterns of energy. But of course, actually, that's really what we are. So if you think about it, these bodies of ours consist of an almost infinite number of subatomic energies, subatomic particles that are all flying in formation, keeping our bodies from flying apart. And so really every moment of our lives is an ongoing miracle from one moment to the next moment. It's really an incredible thing. There are divine, very sacred reasons why we're here living this experience. And it's like a perfect testing environment for us. We're born into this world. We don't remember anything from where we were before. And so this is a perfect test. Who are we going to become? What are we going to do? What are we going to choose? Light, dark, good, evil, right, wrong. What are we going to do? And no matter what we do, we learn from from the consequences of our choices, right? And I believe that it's really all about our progression. This is a step in our progression in to the eternities. And so it's really, really interesting. And the fact that now, you know, here we are in the world, it's 2023, and you'd think that by now mankind would be beyond war, but war is still being used to settle differences between nations. And it's really crazy, but the consciousness of the world is expanding at an accelerating rate. And so what that means is that every day the consciousness of the world is bigger than it was yesterday. And I think the cat's out of the bag. I don't don't think there's any stopping it. And so we see the world in all this crazy turmoil. But the way I look at it is that the world is just in labor. It's trying to give birth to this new world where we are going to have a much, much higher level of consciousness than what we've ever even imagined before in the world. That's where we're headed, I think.
What do you think about when I think, you know, thinking about your centerpiece of balancing the system? What do you think about environment code? You know, and, you know, environment to me, I don't think is looked at in a way of understanding balance. Like my thought process is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or whatever, but we're put on this earth and our bodies were set up for certain things. But say if you're in the region of the world where you're an Eskimo, bodies weren't really set up initially to eat meat. If you grew up as an Eskimo and you have fish in your culture, and that's perpetuated over 1,000 years, then that group of people or culture probably will still need fish in their diet to maintain their balance because that has been perpetuated over time.
Right.
What do you think about, maybe that's your third book. I don't know. What do you think about environment?
I don't think I'm going to write any more books. I think I'm done. But I think that you bring up a really, really good point. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think that, where it points to is this idea that we are really highly individual, that we're all different. And I found that during the years I was in practice, I found that if the last person that I saw was suffering from neck pain, the next person that I saw might not have the same reasons. If the last person that I saw couldn't conceive a child, the next one might have totally different reasons. And so that's one of the really fascinating things about it, is that there's really no cookie cutter approach, in my opinion. And in my experience, I mean, every single person is different. Every single person is unique. But what is the same about every individual is that they have that subconscious mind, that computer within them that wants to give up its information. The thing is, up until now, nobody's really been asking. It's been more like throwing things at the wall to see what sticks.
I think capitalism has created a culture of lambs from our education, from our education system on. You know, because kids lose their imaginations when they start school, right? And the power of a mind, I think, is a very big, big thing, right? Instead of thinking, all right, ABC, this is why I think we perpetuate negativity, because when you're approached with fear, right, your question, can I do this? Will I be successful? Right? How do I do this? Right? Instead of saying, I will be successful, I can do this, I know how to do this, right? I think if you can start the human being from that point of positivity and create that pattern, I think you're going to see a big change in humanity overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely. I mean, if you think about, the dismal state of education today, it's like it's a whole nother topic or a whole nother interview, but absolutely. I mean, we are designed to succeed. And I think that our ability to create is a big reason why we're here. I think we're here partly to learn how to create. I think when we're born, from the very beginning, I think most of us, by and large, the human experience is that we learn information that isn't necessarily true. We start learning about all the things we can't do and what we're not capable of. I think that, for example, I had a dream once that I was walking on air, and it was an amazing dream. I was at this college or university, and I'm walking down the hallway, and I'm about an inch off the ground. And it was the most amazing feeling. It was so real. It was one of those dreams, that was just, you'd swear it was real. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm an inch off the ground, I'll bet you I can get a foot off the ground. And so, boom, I'm a foot off the ground. And then I'm a couple feet off the ground. And then I look up at the ceiling and I think, I bet you I can get right up near the ceiling. And so, boom, I'm right up near the ceiling. And now at this point, everyone's noticing because it was very crowded. And all of a sudden, I'm stopped, just standing there kind of, in midair. And all these people are looking up at me and they're saying, well, how are you doing that? They're saying, how in the world can you possibly be doing what you're doing? And I said to them, well, it's easy. I said, all you have to do is believe that you can do it and be grateful to God that you're doing it. At that point, I looked down the hallway. There were these glass doors at the end of this hallway. And on the other side of those glass doors were these beautiful green rolling hills of this campus. And I remember thinking, when I get beyond those doors, I'm going to be able to fly. And then I woke up. And I swung my feet out of the bed and clunk, my feet hit the floor. But I mean, imagine, I think that it's a good illustration, I think, of what we really are capable of. You know, you think about Christ and all the things that he did, the miracles that he did. And I think about that story where his disciples are out in the boat at night and they see this ghost walking towards them and they're terrified, but it's him. And he calls out to him. He says, don't worry, don't be afraid. It's me. And they say, well, and he's walking on the water. And Peter says, well, if it's you, have me come out to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. He gets out of the boat. And I absolutely believe that this is true. My grandfather actually saw a man walk on water. I think it can be done. And so Peter gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water until he starts to realize that it's very abnormal what he's doing. And he starts to have this emotion of fear. So what's fascinating is we know that subatomic particles will change their behavior depending on what the observer is expecting to see. And so I think that the future consists of unformed energy, and we can change that future depending on what we believe and expect. So this is another whole topic, but I think that when Peter got out of that boat, he believed he could do it and was so certain of it that the subatomic particles that were making up the water changed their normal state to support him in that belief until he began to fear. And then all of a sudden they stopped supporting him and down he goes. And he calls out and he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs him and pulls him up and says, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? You know, why'd you doubt? And it's interesting.
I mean, I've had some wild experiences. And like I said, we'll bring this, close this down here in a second. But if you think about energy, you know, the stronger your energy field around you and being able to control elements around you, then that makes a lot of sense. You know, how do you maximize your energy?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's so interesting because, like I said, we're moving into this phase of existence now where we're becoming aware of all kinds of things. Our consciousness is rising and we're waking up. It's almost like we've been asleep in a lot of ways, and we're waking up to the truth about our existence, who we are, what these bodies are, how capable these bodies are. I mean, think about this. You know, we, for example, with the emotion code, we've trained and certified over 10,000 practitioners now in 80 countries or more around the world. Most of them work with other people in other countries that they will probably never even meet, and yet whose lives they very well may change as they're working with them at a distance healing. Well, Newtonian physics, there's no place for that, see. In the old models, that doesn't fit anywhere. But in the new model, in quantum physics, that absolutely makes sense, because we know in quantum physics, truly everything is interconnected, and we can entangle with someone else's energies at vast distances, at least as great as the diameter of the Earth. And so really what this work is, the body code, it's really healing for the next age of mankind, I think. It's healing for the new millennium, because it's teaching us what our bodies really are, what they're capable of, and how we can tap in and get information out of them. And it's available now, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, and Audible too. We have it on.
People want to find anything Dr. Bradley Nelson, where do we look for that? What's that URL?
Yeah, they can go to drbradleynelson.com. Our main website is at discoverhealing.com. Yeah, discoverhealing.com is where we have all the information about certification and finding a practitioner that can work with you from somewhere around the world. We've got a Google map, practitioners everywhere. And also we do live events and online events and things like that.
Nice. And I got the last question of the day. I had this experience. I just want to see what you think. I had a new experience the past couple of weeks. What do you think the symbolism of robins are?
Spring.
Is that what it is? Spring?
Well, I think so. I mean, they've always been considered a sign of spring when a robin shows up. Why? Did you have an interesting experience with a robin?
Well, I had this medium and psychic readout, Giganti, on my podcast Sunday. And she was talking about, because I'm always trying to help people, myself, give them energy. Mm-hmm. And she says, you got to make sure you replenish. I live here in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But I walk down to this area where they put boats in the water or whatever. So I kind of do some meditation, and I'm thinking about, when she said, I want to replenish, she says, think about light coming through crown chakra. So I went out there and did that. She says, if you really want to maximize your abilities, create your acceptance and replenish your energy. So I went out there and did that. And I'm walking up the hill, and this road starts when you come up from the dock. There's this road that starts, and there's a bunch of houses. There's probably about 7 or 8 houses on this one strip before you get to a curve, and there's trees all over that. And I see about 500 robins.
Whoa.
And I'm like, and this house looked very woody. And then I start walking, and I look to the side of me, and there's these robins beside of me, like hopping in front of me, following me.
Really?
Right. And I look back and I don't see, and they're not there. They're in front of me, and they keep going. And then when I get to the edge of the tree line, they stop. Mm. But this went on for like 7, 8 houses. How many houses are on this stretch?
Wow.
Right. That's I didn't amazing. Think anything about it. My wife said, Google it. I Googled it and found out what it was. But then I went back the next day. There's no robins in sight. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the power of the mind, I was just like, when I found out what the symbolism was, it's a very, very interesting time, I think, for humanity is kind of the overall arching theme.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think that, the animal world is so much more tuned in than we are. They're very aware. They're aware of our thoughts. I mean, one of the things that we teach is that you can't lie to the subconscious mind of another person. The subconscious mind of the person that you're working with, that subconscious mind of theirs knows exactly what your subconscious mind is thinking. I mean, if you're trying to help somebody as a healer, but really all you're interested in is their money, they're aware of that on a subconscious level. If you're really approaching them with unconditional love and acceptance, and you really just truly want to help them, they understand that as well. And it's all about the subconscious mind. And so I think that our thoughts are transparent, really, to animals and to other people. And so I would say that where you were, in that place where you were probably being so, in probably such a different state than most people that they're used to, interacting with or being around or sensing, that's probably why you had that experience. They were right there willing to help and, or just kind of being drawn to your energy probably. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were in the hot tub a couple months ago, I remember. And this hummingbird came down, hovered right here, and you hardly ever get to see him that close, right? And it just hung there for a minute, and it went away, and it came back. And so I just asked it, is there something that you need? And got the answer that it had a trapped emotion, and so I went ahead and released it. And we teach you how to do all of this in the books. And I released it, and then went away, came back, and kind of just looked at us, and then was gone. Animals are incredible, and they're incredibly intelligent. They're very tuned into energies, and they're very tuned into us. They know what we're thinking, I think, and it's really fun to work on them, actually. In fact, our practitioners have to work with animals. They have to have that experience. So when you become an emotion code practitioner, you have to work with 5 different animals, because we figure, 2 or 3 of them are probably going to have some kind of an issue, and you're probably going to knock it right out of the park. We want you to have that experience.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you go. I think we've had a great conversation. Hopefully we can educate some people by listening. And I think you're probably 30 years ahead of the curve for a revolutionary type of healing. I mean, I think you're planting a seed that I don't know if too many people out there have planted this type of seed. So I think it's pretty crazy. You have that clear thought process, and things do get simpler, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. As long as the ego doesn't get involved. If the ego gets involved, then it becomes more complex.
Yeah.
That's what my experience has been in my lifetime. So I try to keep my ego totally out of this. I just tell people, I just work here. Really, this is a God thing. This is the higher power. Our Father wants to bring a different kind of healing into the world that anyone can do. And that's a beautiful thing about the body code. Anybody can do it. I mean, and you don't have to become certified unless you want to. You can use it on your friends, family members, everybody that you want. And you can have all kinds of success just from the book alone. So yeah, my advice is just, pick it up, check it out, try it.
Great advice from Dr. Bradley Nelson. If you haven't checked out the Emotion Code, the Body Code books, check those out. I think it's a revolutionary thought process. And thanks for coming on the show. And my name is John Edmonds Cosma. I'm the CEO of Bang Productions. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.